The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
If you are excited to be in God's house, shout hallelujah. Opening the gates of divine surprises. We are on our series on divine surprises, and this morning is a special impartation service, and we'll be speaking on opening the gates of divine surprises. Just like human beings like to give surprises to their friends, wife, husband, children, loved ones, in the same way God likes to give us surprises. He likes doing something new in our lives always. He wants line to fall in pleasant places for us, according to Psalm chapter 16, verse 6. He wants lines to fall in pleasant places for us. He is a God that wants things, new things to happen in our lives. In Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, remember ye not the former things, neither ye consider the things of old, for behold, I will do a new thing, and it shall spring forth, shall ye not know it? I will make a way in thy wilderness and rivers in your desert. So God always wants to surprise us. He wants to make a way in our wilderness. He wants to ensure that things happen for us positively. And I know that for somebody here today, God will suddenly surprise you in Jesus' name. Quickly this morning, I'll be giving you about 7 or 8 examples of those that experienced surprises from God. Number one, or A, we'll be looking at is the woman called Esther. Esther was surprised by God. She was an orphan, and suddenly God changed her life and she became a queen. In Esther chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, Esther was accepted among the Bible says, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So Esther was surprised. God surprised her. She was not the most qualified, but God qualified her. That is how God will qualify somebody here this morning in the name of Jesus. Number two example of those that were surprised by God is a man called David. David was surprised. He was a man of 17 years. First Samuel 17, verse 49 to 51. Small stone, just a stone, killed a man called Goliath, who is a giant. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. Just a stone. It's a surprising thing. It's amazing that a 17-year-old boy can kill somebody as massive as that. And that is how I know that somebody is here this morning. God is going to help you to slay all your enemies in Jesus' name. Number three examples of those that experience surprise is a couple, brand new couple. Maybe you are here this morning, you just got married, maybe few months ago, 1 year ago, your marriage is still new. I'm here to tell you that God is ready to give you a surprise. In John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, Bible says, God, Jesus suddenly appeared in a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and wine finished. The couple were about to be put to shame, but Jesus appeared there suddenly, and Jesus provided wine for them from just pots of water. He transformed it to wine, and their situation changed. And laughter was reintroduced to their ceremony. For somebody here today, laughter and joy will be introduced into your family. You will not be ashamed. I'm running through this because this is just my foundation. This is just to start. This is just the foundation of the message. Number four example of those that experienced surprise is Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were 100 years. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years when God surprised them. In Genesis 21 verse 5 to 6. Genesis 21 from verse 5 to 6. They were old, yet God made them to laugh. God gave them a child called Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. God will help us to laugh with you today. We will laugh with your family today. Between now and the end of this month of October, there will be a reason to laugh in your family. Abraham and Sarah were 100 years. Can you imagine your great-grandfather at 100 years and your great-grandmother at 100 years calling you for a naming ceremony that they just had another baby? Can you just imagine how weird it would be that your father, your great-grandfather at 100 years just had a baby, and your great-grandmother that can barely walk at 90 years delivered a bouncing baby boy, healthy baby boy, fat and chubby. And she said, God has made me to laugh. It's amazing. It's surprising. It is a surprise. That was why when the angels were telling Sarah that she would have a baby, she was laughing. And he said, did you laugh? He said, no. Because it's amazing. At that old age, God still visited them. What is your own age that men have already written you off, or you are writing off yourself? Listen to me. God will surprise you. I've seen it happen over and over again. I've seen God do wonders to the extent that I cannot doubt him again. He has done it before, and he will do it again. He will do your own. He will do your own. I say he will do your own. That's number what example? Number four. So we move quickly to number five, example of those that God surprised. The children of Israel were surprised by God in Exodus 15, verse 4 to 11. Exodus 15, verse 4 to 11. The Bible says that they were pursuing them. The Egyptians were pursuing them. The Pharaoh was pursuing them with chariots. They looked at their front and there was a sea. They looked at their back and enemies were pursuing them. But suddenly God appeared in his majesty. He destroyed all those guys, crushed them mercilessly, disgraced them, sent them to hellfire. And the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea like they were crossing the good part of Lagos Ibadan Express Road. Lagos Ibadan Express Road has one part like this that is so nice that it's as if you should be going like that when you get to Lagos until you get to that place where they are repairing the road again. Hello. And then suddenly they were destroyed. In Isaiah 54 verse 15, the Bible says, behold, they shall surely gather, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thy sake shall fall for thy sake. They will fall for your sake. Anybody that has gathered for evil for you and your family, they will fall for your sake. I said they will fall for your sake. I said they will fall for your sake. Can I hear you say big amen? God surprised them and destroyed their enemies suddenly. Number six example of a person that God surprised is a man called Peter. The Bible says in John chapter 5, from verse 1 to 6, Jesus appeared suddenly at the seashore and he wanted to use Peter's boat. And he said, oh boy, can I use your boat? And after he used the boat, he said, what's going on? He said, launch out your net for a catch. He said, we have struggled all night. We have caught nothing. We have been struggling. Nothing has been caught. Jesus said, go ahead and do what I told you to do. And the Bible says, and as he did that, he caught multitude of fishes. Multitude of fishes that his net began to break. He could not imagine it. It's something that he cannot imagine. How can somebody that did not study fishery like me, somebody who was a carpenter's son, how can he suddenly appear and tell me to launch out and I caught so much fishes? So much so that net began to break. Listen to me. There's a new season of supply coming to your family. You will not be able to eat it alone. It is when you don't have enough money that you spend money alone. Money and riches get to a level that you can't spend alone because your stomach is not bigger than what it is. And if you eat too much, you have problem. So when you get to a particular level of wealth and riches, you become a distributor. Somebody is here today. That is the realm you are moving into. The realm whereby you become a distributor. You distribute to family members. You distribute to church members. You distribute to friends and associates. You distribute to the community. Can I hear you say a bigger amen? Can I hear you say a bigger amen? Amen? That was the level that God took Peter to suddenly. He did not plan for it. Blessing you did not plan for will arrive today. It will arrive this week. Something you never even thought would come your way will arrive this week. And let me just give you one more, then we can move to the other parts of the message proper. Another person that experienced the power of God in divine surprise was a man that was at the pool of Bethesda. He was at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. 38 years. I can't imagine somebody being at the same spot for 38 years. I can't imagine it, how somebody can be at the same place for 38 years. And the Bible says, suddenly as Jesus appeared, Jesus said, you this boy, what's going on? Why are you here? Why have you been here for so long? He said, there's nobody to assist me. There's nobody to help me. And the Bible says that as he went there, as Jesus went there, he said, oh boy, it's time to get out of here. How long have you been here? He said, 38 years. And suddenly Jesus picked him up and he got out of that place. There is somebody here today. God is going to pick you out of that place where you have been struggling for so long. God is going to bring you out of that level that you have been struggling for so long. And he's going to make a way for you in the name of Jesus. He's going to make a way for you in the name of Jesus. He's going to change your story in the name of Jesus. He's going to bless you like never before in the name of Jesus. That story is in John chapter 5, verse 1 all through to 9. And I speak to somebody here today more than you can ever imagine, God is going to release something great to you in Jesus' name. God is going to release something great to you in Jesus' name. That thing will amaze your family and shock everybody around you in Jesus' name. Having laid the foundation for the message of this morning, how do we access open gates unto divine surprises? What do we need to do to be able to access open gates of divine surprises? Number one is a heart of gratitude. To be able to access, you want your gate to be open. So much so that almost every day you are receiving surprises from God. Number one thing necessary is a heart of gratitude. Somebody say a heart of gratitude. Only the grateful can be fruitful. Only the grateful can be surpriseful. Only the grateful can get the best of God. To the extent to which you are grateful is the extent to which God will surprise you. How many of you know that when you do something for somebody and the person sees it as something normal or casual, you are not enthusiastic to help the person next time? If you help or assist somebody and the person refuses to say thank you, your heart is down. You feel used. You feel like somebody just used you and dumped you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the exact way that God feels. Bible says in Psalm 67 verse 5 to 7, Psalm 67, 5 to 7, let people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield and increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear. That is, if you are able to thank me and appreciate me enough, I will bless you and surprise you to the extent people will begin to fear. When they think of you, fear grips them because you have changed your level totally. As a man, your wife does something for you and you refuse to appreciate her. Next time, her heart will not want to do it for you. As a woman, your husband does something for you, blesses you with something. You are not appreciative. Your heart does not show gratitude and appreciation. He's not enthusiastic to release to you. He's not enthusiastic to release to you. Because appreciation is application for more. Appreciation, when you appreciate God for something, it is an application for more of what you just appreciated God for. Your appreciating God does not mean that you are a fool. Hello? You're appreciating God or appreciating somebody that gave you something does not mean you are a fool. You are not a fool. You are only behaving wisely. Somebody is here today. That spirit of appreciation and gratitude will come for you in the name of Jesus. It will come for you in the name of Jesus. Don't take anything casual. Don't take anything as your right. Anything done for you deserves appreciation, no matter how small. Anything anybody has done for you, just let your heart express appreciation. The reason why some people never stop getting blessed is because they know how to say thank you. You can do things for two people, the same thing, and one person will just take it casually. What's the big deal? And somebody else will be thanking you first day, second day, third day, we're still appreciating you, saying thank you. Then the next time you want to do something, you go to that same person that was grateful. There's a general saying, they say, he that is not grateful is a great fool. So it's a sign of foolishness not to be grateful for what has just been done for you. My prayer for somebody here today is that a new heart of gratitude comes on you in the name of Jesus. A new heart of gratitude comes for you in the name of Jesus. There are some people, when God or people do something for them, their gratitude is only immediate. Once they have said thank you now, that is all. They are waiting for something else. No, that's not how a grateful person behaves. A grateful person expresses gratitude. Not that you are saying thank you, thank you, thank you every minute. But your conduct shows that you are still grateful for what was done last week. Your utterances, your behavior shows that your heart is gratitude. Is grateful. Because gratitude is of the heart. If gratitude does not ooze from your heart, it will show. But you will soon be a murmurer. You will soon look at what God has not done. You will soon look at what God has not done. You will soon look at what is still lacking. And my prayer for somebody here today is that a new spirit of appreciation and gratitude comes for everyone here in the name of Jesus. Number two, how to access open gates of surprises is passion for God's kingdom. Passion. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Malachi chapter 3. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth it not. Leave that scripture for one, just a minute or two, then you take it. Now look at this. Then you will, after somebody have served God and somebody else did not serve God, he said, when you return from your journey or anywhere you have gone to, he says, and you will be able to discern and you will see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between the man that served God and him that says, I will not serve God for anything. There is always a difference between those that serve God and those that do nothing. The difference is always there. I don't have one friend anywhere today that is not serving God that he can see anything in his life to envy. I don't have one. This person is not serving God, yet I can see something in his life that I don't have. I don't have one. Anywhere. Because you can't serve God and then you will not live. Your passion for God gives you your portion in life. If you desire a big portion, then donate yourself to God's kingdom. Everything we have, we go. We drop everything. The only thing that will follow us at the end of our life is what we invested into God's kingdom. Your passion for God distinguishes you. When your attention are on the things of God, there is no way God's attention will not be on you. When your mind is on God's work, the progress of God's work, there is no way God will leave you alone. But when you see men and women whose total investment worldwide is on the things of this world, everything, every of their money goes to how to become more beautiful or more become handsome. Every of their investment, nothing into God's kingdom. Time not invested, energy not invested, resources not invested. By the time you see such folks in years to come, some of the times you need to shake your head for them. It's important for you to invest your passion into God's work. And you don't need to be a pastor. Daniel was not a pastor. He was not a pastor. Yet he was passionate. David was not a pastor. Yet he was passionate. Esther was not a pastor, yet he was passionate. So when you are a passionate person for God's kingdom, you always access the best that God has. And I pray for somebody here today, the gates of surprises shall be open unto you, even as you begin to serve God in the name of Jesus. I've said to you often, I can predict the end of somebody serving God. I can predict it. It can never be disappointed. I can predict it. And I can also predict somebody who says, forget God, all these pastors. It's only pastors that is sending texts to you or calling you for money that you can talk out, that you can talk to anyhow. A pastor that has never disturbed you for one day, only telling you the truth and moving you towards your destination, and praying day and night that God will bring his plan to pass in your life, can never be insulted from any source. If your desire is to get divine surprise, donate yourself. Put more time into the things of God. Put more time into the things of God. I traveled on Friday. I came back around past 11:30 on Friday. Got home, just changed what I wore because of the sweat of the journey, and not even using this bum to even sit down for a few minutes. Came straight to church to pray and intercede for the people in the night. Not that they are coming, maybe somebody is coming to give you some. No, these people must be blessed at all costs. These people must do well at all costs. If you are ready to be passionate for God, forget about the devil. Devil and his cohorts, they are useless. They don't do you anything. They just be barking like a barking dog. But when you are a person who doesn't care about the things of God, you become vulnerable. There's no backup. There's nobody again to run to. Prayer for you here today is that new passion shall be reignited in your life in Jesus' name. Number three, how to open the gates. how to open the gates of divine surprises is passionate and fervent prayer. Only the prayerful can open the gates of surprises. Not the playful. Not the man or woman that loves pleasure more than prayer. There's nothing bad in relaxing. There's nothing bad. But when pleasure is too much, it places life under pressure. When pleasure is too excessive, it pushes one's life into pressures. If your desire as a man and as a woman is to open the gate, it takes prayer to burst. With prayer, you burst open the gates of surprises. Not that you are waiting for the gates to open, you burst it open. Matthew chapter 11 verse 12, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and the violent taketh it by what? By force! It's not by luck. If you want surprises, you are intense in the place of prayer. Luke 18 verse 1, men always ought to pray and not to faint. Surprises are there, but a gate has been placed there to hinder them. Then you now go to God in the place of prayer day and night. You burst the gate open. You practically remove the gate, you throw it somewhere. Then the blessings will rush at you. Somebody's here, blessings will rush at you. Testimonies will rush at you. Favor will rush at you. Progress will rush at you. Advancement will rush at you. Can I hear you say a big amen? Amen. Your amen is not loud enough. Amen. There was a man in Isaiah 38 verse 1 to 5 called Hezekiah who was sick, who needed surprises from God. Isaiah chapter 38 verse 1 to 5. And he went to God. The man of God came to him and said, man, begin to prepare, you are going to die. And he ran to God. God, I need a surprise. I know I'm sick. I know that some parts of my body has failed already, but I need divine surprise. I need divine surprise. And suddenly God sent that man of God back to him and said, yes, this man has demanded for surprise and I will give it to him. I'm adding 15 more years to his life. That's the kind of thing prayers can do. Prayer changes things. It bursts open gates that have been shut. Is there any gate that have been shut against you? Pray your way out. If your house is not conducive, take a corner in church. I can't imagine myself building a house without a prayer room. I mean, this was before being a pastor. I can't imagine that I have a house and I don't have a prayer room. And you might not have that, but in your own room, your room is already a prayer room. Your sitting room is a prayer room. There are wars to fight, and it's on the platform of prayer that you fight them. Some things have become very difficult because prayer is lacking among believers. Prayer is lacking among believers. Prayer is lacking among believers. But as from today, new grace to pray without ceasing is coming upon someone in the name of Jesus. The days of your weakness and tiredness in the place of prayer is gone forever. I say it's gone forever. I say it's gone forever. My wife knows if she calls me, and she calls me once or maximum of twice, I don't pick it. She can't call back again. She knows something is going on. So if it's 7 hours and I'm done, then I'll call her back. You need to know this, picking calls every minute. Hello, 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 hello. Who knows you? Who knows you? Who do you know? Who knows you? Settle down with prayers. Let me tell you, since morning, I've not even said anything like that. In my place, it is the hand that has oil that people lick with you. Any hand that has blood, they will not lick it with you. When you say, my friends, because you are doing well, if things don't go on with you, if you phone them, they won't pick it. If you knock their door, they will know. They will pass you like this. They will quickly do their face as if they did not see you. It is when you are doing well that people know you. When you are off your job, mistakenly, God forbid, that you are not on that job, that person will know you. Take your life serious so that you can end glorious. You are the architect of your own life. You are the one. Now, if you fail, it is your fault. If you succeed, it is your fault. You have nobody to blame. Your father has done their own. Your mother has done their own. Some did not even see their father and their mother. Immediately they were born like this, father and mother drummed them inside the dustbin and they succeeded. So you have nobody to blame. Get up! Get up! Get up! Get up! When it's not as if they gave you injection for sleeping. What is it? What is it? What is it? How can you sleep at 7 p.m. and wake up at 7 a.m.? What is it? What is going on? Get up from your slumber. Get
get up from your slumber to pray.
I mean, as a student, our prayer place in our university can never forget me. He can't. I don't think there's a day that was the prayer did not go on. From these lips, on that place, on my feet. This was years ago. It's not today. It shows today. If you play today, you pay tomorrow. If you pay today, you play tomorrow. So get up in the place of prayer. It's a new day for somebody today. It's a new day for somebody today. Number four, how do you open the gates of divine surprises? Impact into people's lives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Knowing that ye are unto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Also, go with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and verse 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Verse 10. Now look at this, everybody. As we have therefore opportunity, someone say opportunity. As you have, I know in Nigeria there is so much opportunity for that. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Your impact into people's lives always opens the gate in your life. Your continuous development of others always makes things happen for you. Don't care about how people are speaking bad about you. Don't care about... It's only in Nigeria, particularly, that I see people, they will eat your food, yet they will still want to destroy you. It happens a lot. Collect your money. They eat your food. Pay their children's school fees. You do things. You do that. Do this. Do that. Do that. Do that. Yet they still want to strike you. They still want to... Oh, don't bother about that. Just keep doing what God has sent you to do. Bible says we should not be weary in well-doing. Don't be tired of assisting others. Somebody comes to you for an assistance, he says he needs assistance of 100,000. If your capacity is 10,000, release it and pray for him that God will bless him and help him to get that 90,000. If somebody comes to you with a problem of 20,000 and 2,000 is what you can afford, release it. Don't say, I have nothing. Whatever it is you can, you see, as you impart people, you are sowing a seed. As you rescue people, you are doing something about your future. Because you yourself will not lack rescue. There's nobody that doesn't need help. That person needs a level of help. You also need another level of help. Every one of us needs help. So when you help somebody with a lesser help, you get a higher help. Hello. Your investment in imparting others assists people a lot. Helps you. Helps your life. The story of Abraham always amazes me. How somebody will see strangers and begin to run and scatter to get food for them. Kills a small cow for them. Gives them food. From there, he gets his own prophecy on his child. From there, he escapes. He escapes. His brother, Lot, escapes evil. See, when you are a person that imparts others, God always impacts you. Listen to me. Money without impact is mourning. Mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-G. Money that cannot be a blessing to anybody. It's nonsense. When you are pocketically loaded, it's not for you alone. It is for the advancement of God's kingdom. It is for the advancement of mankind. It is for the advancement of people. It is for the development of people. My prayer for somebody here today is that in your lifetime, multitude shall thank God that you lived. I say multitude shall thank God that you lived. You will feed many. You will buy cars for many. You will build houses for many. You will send people abroad. Your amen is a learning life. You will build houses for people. You will be a source of blessing to others. You will bankroll somebody's wedding. Can I hear you say amen? You will be involved in the success of others. So shall it be. in the name of Jesus. Because of my time, ladies and gentlemen, we need to move to number 5. How do we open the gates of divine surprises? Through positive words. In Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. The Bible says, life and death is in the power. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Your tongue is not just there for nothing. It carries power. You can't expect surprises beyond the level of what you say. When you speak negative, you attract negative. Where you are now, you spoke it. What you said is what brought you to where you are now. What you said is what brought you to the exact place you are now. It was the utterances you said, either verbally or you were thinking, and establish it in your heart. So when you want to change your words, change your words. Many of us think that when Jesus said, or it's in the scripture, let the weak say I'm strong. Is the Bible encouraging us to lie? Is the Bible encouraging us to lie? No! It's just saying, say what you want to see. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. That's what the Bible says. Because what you say is what you are permitted to see. In those days, I used to say something very often. Some of you here will remember. When you speak, angels speak and God will fix. It's a process. Once you speak it, angels will pick it, God will fix it. Hey, there's no casual word. I didn't really mean it. I didn't really mean it. No, there's something like that in the realm of the spirit. What you just said is what you mean. Out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaker. What you said is what you mean. That's what you mean. It's not that after you said it, you just felt, oh, I shouldn't have said it like that. What you said is what you mean. That's what is in your heart. You don't need to go far to know what is in somebody's heart. Just let them speak, then you know the content of their heart. So, it is important you speak right. Psalms 81 verse 10. Psalms 81 verse 10. Always speak the right words. Don't just talk. I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. When you open your mouth, let God fill it with right words. Don't just talk nonsense. Don't just talk nonsense. Don't take things from the family and say it is mine. It is our disease. It is our disease. They said they want to retrench all of us. Who are the us? We are not part of them. It is impossible for businesses to thrive in this Nigeria. It is just impossible. You just said it. You just said it. So prophesy deliberately. You are the greatest prophet of your life. I'm running because of time now. By 11:30 we must stop. There's a limit to which I can prophesy on you directly. We do that massively, privately. But directly, there's a limit because we are running for time. For you yourself, you can spend 7 hours prophesying on your life. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the first and not the last. I can't be poor. I'm ending 2018 very rich. I'm ending 2018 very, very massively. Things will work out for me. My fiancé is already on the way. And I know that he's a man of God. He's a man that fears God. And he's going to be very, very blessed. I'm getting a new job. Brand new job. In 8 zeros. You can prophesy anything. You can say anything as long as it is the correct thing. Especially if you have vision. You can see something in front. Prophesy it. My delivery will be the easiest delivery anybody has ever heard in this life. As in, I will deliver like, I will just say, oh, is this how it is? I've seen it before. Where a woman will deliver and then she will just be like, play. Let's get to the hospital. We've had it in this church before. Somebody got to the hospital. Not up to 3 to 5 minutes. She has already delivered. Is that one labor of favor? Which one? May the Lord give us understanding. As from today, the grace not to speak foolishly again, God will give it to us in Jesus' name. Proverbs 15 verse 2. Proverbs 16 2. Some men, some women, when they talk, it's just like a foolish person talking. It's just like a foolish person speaking. How can you yourself be calling yourself? It's like we say, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. But the mouth of fools poureth out what? Foolishness. How do you know a fool? Somebody who speaks foolishness. A Nigerian speaks Nigerian language. American speaks in an American accent. Those from England speak English. Those that are fools speak what? Foolishness language. Their language is language of foolishness. They just talk casually. They just talk. Anybody can die now. Anybody can die at any time. It doesn't matter. Don't say that. When people say that, they soon become that body that they are talking about. I shall not die but live. That's what you should be saying. I can't die. Die again. When I'm not seeing my grandchildren, I'm not going to America. I'm not going to London. I'm not going to Germany. How can I die? The estate I want to build, Inko. The songs I want to sing, Inko. The CDs I want to produce, Inko. The companies I want to start. The churches I want to build. The issue of death, no. Somebody said, no way. No way. That's how to talk. Number six. I'll just run through this very quickly. Number six. How to go open the gates of divine surprises. To walk in faith. No doubt. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is an essential part of a Christian that will experience surprises. What you are not expecting will not come. What you are not expecting will never arrive. That's why you see a lady who is preparing to get married, she will start preparing. Her conduct will begin to be like a wife's conduct. She will begin to buy house things. She will begin to prepare the things that married women keep in the house. Because she is expecting a surprise. See, businessmen who are expecting surprises, they begin to open domiciliary accounts. Say, why are you opening a domiciliary account? I'm moving beyond naira to dollar very soon. So I am preparing the domiciliary account ready. So that when the dollar comes, they move in rush massively. Faith is a very strong thing. Just like you can't do without breathing. Your Christian life is grounded without faith. You can't express any surprise when you don't have faith. Because God won't force himself on you. What you are not expecting will never come. It will never come. It will just come. So if you want God to surprise you, be expecting. Be expectant. Be expectant. Let your heart be expecting it. Let your heart be expecting it. Walk in faith. And to build your faith, you need to stay on the word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Romans 10 verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing and hearing. The more you read the word and listen to tapes, the more you become faith-filled. That's why you should not depart from the church. You should not depart from regular attendance in church. Listening to CDs. Listening to tapes. Every time of your life, you are listening to something. In your car. In your phone. Load your phone with messages. So that your faith can be boosted. And your surprises can be attracted easily. Lastly, where I will stop this morning, how do we open the gates of divine surprises? Draw closer to God, or you can also say, pursue God. When you pursue God, you are bound to access divine surprises. The closer you are to God, the more likely you will get surprises. James chapter 4 verse 6, draw near to me, and I will also draw near to you. So be a person, a man or a woman, verse 8, beg your pardon. Draw near to me, and I will also draw near to thee. You know, when you draw near to God, it's a deliberate thing. In the call to worship that we read today in Psalm 84, I think in verse 10 or so, it was talking about a day in thy court, verse 10 and verse 11. A day in thy court is better than a thousand. That was David talking. David deliberately drew near to God. No wonder surprise never left him. Psalm 84, 10, 11. He deliberately drew near to God. It was a deliberate thing. He did it so deliberately. And no wonder he never lacked God's presence. As from today, you and your family will never lack God's presence. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper. Can you see a man like you and I? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house. That's a king talking. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Go to verse 11. God bless you. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. God will give you grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from him that walk uprightly. Anybody that deliberately draws near to God, God cannot tell him, go away. No. But you need to deliberately pursue God. As you are pursuing God, surprises are pursuing you. The mistake most of us make is that when you pursue God small and he bless you small, you stop pursuing him. Let me tell you a secret as I round up. The more you pursue God, the more blessing will pursue you. But don't stop pursuing God. If you wait on God and pursue God like you have never done before, you will get blessings like you have never gotten before. Also, you must keep pursuing Him. Like, it's a race. It's a race. For I think that's 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24. No, you know that all run the race, but one obtained the prize. So run that you might obtain the prize. You must keep running. You must be pursuing God. Blessing will be pursuing you. You must be pursuing God. And then blessing is pursuing you. Then you must be pursuing God. No, you know that they which run the race run all, but one obtained the prize. So run that you may obtain. So keep running. Keep pursuing God. Don't pursue God this time. And then maybe it gives you some small change. Maybe 1 million, 2 million. Then you relax. Say, let me rest more. Then when you get broke again, you start pursuing God. Start pursuing God. He will bless you again with some money to relax again. And no, your pursuit of God must be continuous and consistent. Then you have signed up for divine surprise. My prayer for everyone here today is that all the days of your life, your heart will keep panting after God. I say your heart will keep panting after God. I say your heart will keep panting after God. Your heart will keep panting after God. Can I hear you say a big amen?
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.